Well, Vineyard Church North Phoenix, how are you doing today? You doing good? Man, whether you're joining us online or in person, I'm so excited that you chose to join us here today. I really hope that you feel welcome and that you've had the opportunity to experience God's presence. You know, if you're new, maybe this is your first time, you don't know who I am. My name is James, one of the pastors here, and I want to extend a special welcome to you. Wow. What a crazy year. You know, I saw one great tweet that said, we really popped champagne for this. You know, we've had a pandemic, we've had curfews, we've had lockdowns, we found out that Carol Baskin killed her husband. But man, it finally kind of feels like we're heading back to some sense of life being normal, right? Like I finally managed to buy some toilet paper from the grocery store. It'd been about 2 months. You know, and as we return to some sense of normalcy, I wanted to remind us all of a couple of things that are really important to us here at the Vineyard, a couple of Vineyard distinctives. Now, you may not know this, but the Vineyard is a movement of about 600 churches in the United States and 2,000 churches all around the world. And I grew up in the Vineyard Church. My parents are actually Vineyard Church planters, and they still pastor a church in England and the UK. And our church, Vineyard Church North Phoenix, is part of the Vineyard movement, and God has called us to reach and minister to people, not only in our local community, but all around the world. God has called us to reach, the type of people that God has called us to reach are mainly those who have never been to church at all, you know, unchurched people, and then the kinds of people that don't really like a traditional or denominational type of service. Now, that doesn't mean that we're better than any other church. It takes lots of different types of churches to reach lots of different types of people, and we love the whole church. But God has given us some distinguishing characteristics that make us us, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. So if you could please turn your Bible, your smartphone, your tablet, your browser, whatever it is that you have the Bible on, over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. And before we get into the message, I quickly want to pray that God would speak to us. And I'm also going to pray for our offering. And I quickly wanted to say that, you know, those of you who faithfully give to God through the Vineyard, man, thank you so much. Without your faithful giving, we wouldn't be able to do amazing things like this past Wednesday when we partnered with Convoy of Hope to serve around 300 people with groceries and other supplies and stuff like that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It really makes a difference when we give to God through the church. So would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Father, I thank you that we can meet with you today, both online and in person, Lord. Would you speak to us? Would you open our hearts and our ears to the words that you want to say to us today, God? Would we experience your presence? And Father, would you bless us as we give back to you? Would you bless our money, Lord? Would you use it to minister to the people in our community and all around the world? We thank you for your faithfulness, God, and we trust you. Amen. So, what makes up the Vineyard DNA? Number one, the priority of worship. Worship is really our highest value or priority. Why? Because we believe that's what the Bible tells us to have as our highest priority. In the book of Matthew, Jesus was asked, "Teacher," that's Jesus, "which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." See, loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind is worship. And we're going to look briefly at the importance of worship in our services, our small groups, and in our lives as individuals. I had you turn to the book of Hebrews earlier. It says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh." So what's this saying? Let me unpack it for you. In the Old Testament, your experience of God would be strictly through the priest. And when I say experience God, that's what I mean. We experience God. We feel God. See, Christianity is a felt relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just head knowledge. But Jesus wants us to actually feel his presence. He wants us to experience him. And lots of followers of Jesus, they don't realize that. But if you were a follower of God in the Old Testament, you could never really experience the presence of God for yourself because Acts 2, Pentecost, hadn't happened yet. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would occasionally come upon three groups of people, kings, priests, and prophets. The Holy Spirit would come and they would feel his presence occasionally, but if you were just like a regular, normal dude like you and I are, we would never experience that. Now, another thing in the Old Testament, the high priest, once a year, would be able to enter the Holy of Holies in the temple. See, the temple in the Old Testament was basically made up of three parts, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is where the Israelites believed the presence of God actually resided. And the Holy of Holies was separated by a 6-inch thick veil, basically a curtain. All that's to say that the presence of God was contained behind the veil and you could never experience it. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and he could only do it once a year. So only one person, the high priest, could actually get close enough to God and feel his presence, but it was only one time a year on the day of what they called the Day of Atonement. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom, which, by the way, was humanly impossible. Amen, come on. That is good news. It was humanly impossible for this veil to be torn because it was like this really huge curtain. And one of the things that was the tearing of the veil was all about is it was symbolic of the fact that now, since Jesus died on the cross, the presence of God was released and all followers of Jesus can experience the presence of God for themselves. We no longer have to go through the priest. Isn't that good news? Come on. If you're watching online, put good news in the chat. Now, there's a theological term I want to explain to some of you. It's the pneumas of God. Kind of a weird word. There's a silent P in there. I'm not sure why. But it means the manifest presence of God. It means where God's presence comes and actually fills a place, like a building or a temple or even your home. And the atmosphere in that place is filled with the presence of God, and there's a sense that God's presence is actually there. There's a warmth. There's a peace. Sometimes there's joy. There's a thickness in the air. And some of you, a few minutes ago, as we were singing to God, you actually experienced that. You felt something like that. That's the pneumas, the manifest presence of God. And that is what every single follower of Jesus needs to experience on a regular basis. We all need to experience, not just head knowledge, experience. In fact, that's our goal when we go to church. Our goal when we go to church, whether it's in person or online, is not just to check it off a list. You know, like wake up, have breakfast, go to church, take a nap, have anxiety about going to work on Monday. You know, our goal is actually to have an encounter with the living God. Our goal is that God would actually show up in our services. Now, the thing that's amazing, look at this next scripture from Psalm 22. It says, "You, God, inhabit the praises of your people." Now, you might not know that the Old Testament was originally written in the language Hebrew, and so it could be helpful for us to go back to look at what the original meaning of some of these words is. Well, the word inhabit there, God inhabits the praises or the worship of his people. What that word means is he sits down, he abides, he dwells, he settles among us. And see, that's what we want to happen. We want the presence of God to settle among us. We want to experience God sitting down among us. And the amazing thing, the scripture said it right there, is that all we have to do to experience the habitation of God, all we have to do is worship him. And he comes. Because he inhabits the praises, the worship of his people. And when he comes, he touches us in all kinds of wonderful ways. He'll bring peace. He'll bring healing. He'll bring deliverance. He'll bring joy. He'll bring whatever we need. Hope. Do you need that today? And I want you to know, As someone who's been involved in planning and facilitating services here at the Vineyard for over 10 years, that's the cry of our hearts every week for each one of you. That when you come to the Vineyard, you wouldn't just come, hear some good songs, get some good teaching from the Bible, and drink some okay free coffee. No offense. Our prayer is that you would actually encounter God, that God would touch you, that you would experience the pneumas, the manifest presence of God. Because if that happens, transformation takes place in your life. When God comes and we actually experience him and have an encounter with him, that's when we're transformed. And I want you to know, personally, I need that on a regular basis as well. The writer goes on in Hebrews and says, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God," he's talking about Jesus there, not Pastor Brian, "let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." See, that's what experiencing God's presence does. It sprinkles our hearts clean from an evil conscience. Or another way to put it, when we experience God, it softens our hearts towards God, toward hurting people, toward people who are far from God, broken people. That's why it is so vital. And that's why it's important for all of us to experience the presence of God. Pastors need it. Small group leaders need it. Youth leaders need it. Especially anyone who is a Seattle Seahawks fan, they need it. We all need it. And I want you to know it takes a conscious effort to not just allow the worship time to slip by without really engaging with God. You know, the presence of God has been here today, especially during our worship time, but some of you had no idea what was happening. You let the worship time slip by without experiencing God at all. And that happens a lot because we're not consciously engaging with God during worship. I know that it's been incredibly hard to do that for the last 5 or so months. You know, we have all had to totally adjust how and where we worship during COVID-19, and some of us are still having to do that. But I want to challenge you. If you are a part of our church family, do not waste the worship time doing other things. Don't waste the worship time by maybe thinking about what you're going to eat later. That's normally what I'm guilty of doing. You know, if you're joining us online, maybe put down your phone during the worship time. You know, if you're not watching on your phone. If you're joining us in person, maybe put down your phone during the worship time. Come on, Facebook is still going to be there when we're done with church. And maybe you won't post something that you'll regret because you've experienced God today. You know what I mean, right? Come on, we've all made that mistake. Now, this is the time to really focus on God and to sing to God and really try to encounter him. Because the fact is, worship accomplishes things in our hearts that nothing else can. So sing the words of the worship songs out loud to God, trying to focus on God during our worship time. Come on. Now, the writer goes on and says in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he, Jesus, who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, how do we do that? How do we hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering? It's not easy, is it? Do you know how we hold fast the confession of our hope in Jesus? Well, it's by doing the previous verse, verse 22, by drawing near with a sincere heart. It's talking about worship. That is when our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies are washed with pure water. You know, in verse 25, when the author says, "not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some," what he's saying there is, none of this can happen if you just blow off attending church. That means online as well as in person. You know, you have no idea how important corporate worship is if you just blow it off because of any little thing that comes up. If you just blow off church, you're committing spiritual suicide. Because you're not able to have your heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience if you're not drawing near in a corporate setting and having the presence of God come and touch you. That's why people backslide so easily and their hearts become so calloused, because we think, it's no big deal if I go to church today. We think it's no big deal if I actually worship during the service. Now you may be wondering, well, why can't I just worship God and experience God all by myself? Well, you can and you should, but there's something different about experiencing God in worship in a corporate setting with other believers than experiencing God alone. In fact, I want to show you this verse. It's from the book of Psalm. It says, "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob." See, the Jews in the Old Testament believed that the gates of Zion was the place where all the followers of God would dwell one day. It was basically like their version of heaven or the new creation. And I want you to notice here that the Lord loves it when his people are gathered together. He loves the gates of Zion more than he loves the individual dwelling places of Jacob. Now, if you're joining us today online, and I know a lot of you are, I don't want you to think that you can't worship God and experience his presence at home. You absolutely can. However, he really loves it when his children are gathered together in a corporate experience, worshiping him as a church family. Now, I want you to hear this. I am so grateful for online church. It was a huge blessing to still be able to meet together online during one of the most difficult times in our nation's history. And I'm still super grateful that many of you can continue to join us online and stay safe and stay healthy. But I feel like I need to remind some of you today of how special it is to corporately worship God alongside your church family. The bottom line is this. Without regularly experiencing God's presence, you will become more and more lukewarm. I will become more and more lukewarm. So make sure you're not just blowing off church. And when you do attend church, either online or in person, make sure you actually engage with God. Now you might be wondering, how can I experience more of God's presence when I come to church? Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you right now. Let me give you three things. First of all, prepare. Prepare yourself to experience his presence. Some of you have never really thought about that. How do I prepare myself before I get here to experience God? Well, one way is prayer. That's communicating with God, welcoming God to come. Do you know that God comes where he's welcome? Some of you have never even thought about actually welcoming God. So pray something like, God, would you come to our church service today? We need your presence, God. I need your presence. Would you come and touch me? You know, a very famous verse from the best book of the Bible, the book of James, it says, okay, I'm a little bit biased, but the verse says this, you do not have because you do not what? Ask. You do not have because you do not ask. And some of you aren't experiencing much of God because you've never asked to experience much of God. A second thing to pray is for your heart to be ready to receive from God. You know that story from Matthew 13, that our heart would be good soil to receive whatever it is that God wants to speak to you about? And the third thing to pray is for you to be used by God that day. Would you use me today, God, to make a difference in youth ministry as I'm serving there? Would you use me, God, as a greeter? Would you use me in the food bank? And even if you're not serving in any way like that on a particular day, just ask God to use you as a warm and welcoming person while you're here. I mean, so many followers of Jesus, and maybe you do this, make the service all about you. To you, it's all about, well, nobody said hi to me when I was here. Well, is the service all about you? Why didn't you say hi to somebody else? You know, why didn't you take the lead and try to be the warm, welcoming person for someone else? Let's take that first step. You know, it's amazing. Studies have been done around the United States, and they show this. That when someone comes to a new church, you know, a new church to them, they're visiting church for the first time, they've made a decision within the first 4 minutes of being here whether they're going to come back or not. They haven't heard the worship. They haven't heard, you know, the preaching. But they've heard us as the church family. Am I welcome here today? Does anybody want me to be here? Did anyone say hi to me? So, one of the things I need to do if I want to experience the presence of God is prepare myself to experience His presence. The second thing I need to do is I need to plan to get to church early. It was going so well. So, the fact is that when we want to really experience God at church, it is so helpful to be here on campus or logged in online before the service actually starts. And that will never happen without serious planning. That's why I said plan to get to church early. Because you know what? The enemy is on high alert before church. He does not want you to be here on time. He does not want you to experience the presence of God. And so there is going to be all kinds of chaos and distractions that happen to you and your family before going to church, especially if you have children. It's just going to happen. And so all of a sudden, things are happening. You're running late. Maybe you're joining us online today, but you know you can't find your laptop charger or you left it to the last minute to actually figure out how that Chromecast thing works. So you're rushed, you're tense, you're stressed out, and by the time you finally get service turned on, it's like the second song, and then your heart is ready to engage God, but the worship time is over. Now, if this was you today, I don't want you to freak out. We're actually going to end the service today with a little bit of worship, okay? But let me give you some coaching on this. Do everything you can do to be ready for church. If you're joining us in person, pick out your clothes on Saturday night. I know you online guys like to stay in your pajamas. I'm not going to lie, that was kind of nice. If you're joining us online, you know, make sure whatever device you're viewing on is charged ahead of time. Eliminate the hassle. If you do a little advanced planning, it will make such a difference of being so much less stressed out before going to church. And then when you're here early, your heart is more relaxed, and when the first song starts, man, you are ready to worship. Amen. I love seeing you guys get excited about punctuality. Let's go. So if I want to experience God's presence, I have to prepare, I have to plan, and the third thing is I have to focus. When the service begins, focus on Jesus. That is a choice. It is a choice that when I come to worship God and encounter God, I'm not going to focus on what the band is doing. I'm not going to focus on what I'm going to do after church. I am not going to focus on what so-and-so is wearing or not wearing. I know wearing a mask as we worship in person is pretty annoying, but do your best to focus on Jesus. You have to have this mindset that I am going to focus on Jesus no matter what. I'm going to try to block out everything else and sing these words directly to Jesus. I'm going to give my heart fully over to Jesus. It takes a conscious effort. Give your heart to Him and sing to Him. It's personal. You know, there's a reason why we use what we call vertical language in a lot of our worship songs here at the Vineyard. Yes, it's great to sing songs about God, but we need to focus on God and sing to Him. Block everything else out. So if I want to experience God's presence, I have to prepare, I have to plan, and I have to focus. The priority of worship is such a big part of our DNA here at the Vineyard. Now, the second piece of Vineyard DNA I want to talk to you about is the importance of fellowship. Now, why do you think that fellowship is important to us? Well, it's because the Bible tells us to make it important to us. The biblical word for fellowship, the word koinonia, another weird word, it means the sharing of lives. This is an extremely important ingredient to your spiritual growth and your spiritual health. And I want to give you two things that will really help you in becoming an extraordinary follower of Christ. The first one is by learning to live in community with some other people. Now, this is fascinating. All four of the Gospels tell us who the 12 disciples were. They kind of list them out. But when Matthew does this in Matthew 10, he does something that's really interesting. And I think it's very insightful about the community that Jesus was starting. Matthew only gives us the names of the disciples, except in two cases. He tells us about one disciple's political affiliation, and he tells us about one disciple's job. Now, the political affiliation is for a disciple named Simon, and we're told that he was a zealot. And zealots hated Rome. You could think of a zealot as a political party, and they hated Rome so much, they actually advocated violence. Now, to a Roman, a zealot was seen as a terrorist, and the biggest flashpoint was over taxes. Zealots believed that paying taxes to Rome wasn't just a bad idea, it was actually blaspheming. It was actually an act of idolatry. So the zealots wanted to kill the Romans. And about the only people that the zealots hated worse than the Romans were fellow Israelites who became tax collectors. Because tax collectors would collect taxes from their own people and then give that money to Rome. Tax collectors were totally fine with becoming wealthy off of their own people in order to benefit Rome. So to a zealot, tax collectors were traitors, the worst kind of enemy. So one of the 12 disciples was Simon, and he was a zealot. And then we find out that another one of the disciples was named Matthew. And does anybody want to guess what Matthew's job was? That's right, he was a tax collector. And how do you think Matthew and Simon got along? Do you think they were super pumped to find out that they were in the same small group? See, the community of Jesus is the place where the person you least want to be present is always present. And why? So you can learn how to love. See, Jesus is doing this on purpose. And this has something to say in our world where people just want to decide who they like and who they don't like. In our church today, and in a lot of churches around the world, the church is doing great things. But in many of those churches, almost everybody fits the same profile. You know, they're all the same age. They have the same tastes. They wear the same clothes. They have the same skin color. They have the same ethnicity. They listen to the same kind of music. They have the same educational background, the same economic status. But let me tell you a secret. Our world is not starving for a community where people love other people who are just like them. Come on, is that true? No. Our world is starving for a church where people love other people who are different to them. See, when the Holy Spirit really breaks out and gets hold of some people, that's when all kinds of barriers start to come down. Barriers concerning race, barriers concerning color and ethnicity and educational levels and economic levels, all kinds of things. And one of the things I so love about our church is our diversity. We are an incredibly diverse church, and that is only by God's grace. Let me ask you, do you love being part of a diverse church? Let me know in the chat. Do you love being part of a diverse church? I love it. I love it. So how are you doing at loving people who are not like you? Everyone, I want you to take a deep breath real quick, because we're going to get real. Are you a Republican? How are you doing? Wait a second. How are you doing at loving Democrats? Serious question. Hold on a second. Let's flip it around. Let's be fair. Are you a Democrat? How are you doing at loving Republicans? How are you treating them on Facebook? You see, you cannot be in a transforming relationship with Jesus and not be in some kind of authentic community with real people. It can't be done. See, there is no believing in Jesus without belonging to his body. Come on. This is true today. And at our church, we have this wonderful opportunity to actually love people who are very different than you are. In our church, we have old people and young people who come together and love each other. We have rich people. We have poor people. We have conservatives. We have liberal people. We have people who look, act, think, dress, eat, and talk differently than you do, but we are all drawn to Jesus. And we need to learn to love each other. Come on, how are you doing with that? And you know the best way to learn to love people who are different than you? It's by actually living in community with them, by being part of a small group. Are you part of a small group? See, big meetings, they give people a sense of destiny, excitement. Worship is loud, worship is great, but you can't share your prayer requests in a big meeting. You can't get to know people and make friends and have intimate needs met. You can't really have fellowship, you know, the sharing of lives in a big meeting. So you need both. Both are essential for a strong, healthy, vibrant church. That's why we ask that all of our members attend both types of meetings. Now, I'm going to give you some benefits of small groups. We don't have much time, so I'm going to be quick with these, but I'm going to give you three benefits of small groups. The first one is they are infinitely expandable. As long as you have homes or apartments, you can have a place for people to plug in. And by the way, we are always looking for more small group leaders and small group hosts. The second benefit of small groups is they promote relationships. Friends are made there. Life is too short to not develop some good, supportive friends. You know, followers of Jesus, people who have your values, people who will be there for you no matter what, people who you can share your struggles with and they can pray for you. You know, that's how real fellowship happens, and that is easily done in a small group. The third benefit of small groups is they help Christians become servants. See, we as Christians, we're supposed to learn how to be servants. In the book of Mark, it says, "For even the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Thank you, Jesus. But the truth is, most of us don't know how. See, small groups naturally help you begin to think of others before yourself. How? Well, after meeting with the same group of people for a while, the masks begin to come off. You know, you start being real with one another. They start to share their struggles with you. They start to share their problems with you. And then your heart goes out to them. You know, you help them move. You have them over for dinner. You watch their kids. You help them out financially when they're in a tough spot. You know, that's how real fellowship happens, and that is easily done in a small group. You're naturally going to become a servant, so you need to join a small group. And funnily enough, our small group fair is going on this weekend, and you can find way more information about small groups either out in the lobby after service, or if you're joining us online, on our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com. See, fellowship is a key ingredient for your spiritual health. Now, as I said earlier, we're going to end today with a little bit of worship. And as we worship together, online or in person, I want you to remember what we just talked about. Focus on God. Welcome him to come. Pray to him right now. What do you need from God? Do you need peace? Do you need joy? Do you need hope? Do you need healing? Pray to him. Focus on him. Sing right to him. Would you join me in standing? See, I know that as we're in person, singing with a mask on is a little annoying, right? It's a little annoying. But we've got to deal with it. This right now is your chance to experience and encounter God who made the universe, and he wants to spend time with just you. So let's do our best to focus on him. You know, another way that we can worship him is with our bodies. You know, you may have seen people raising their hands in worship. Now, what are the two times that people raise their hands in just in general life? I'll tell you. One is, you know, when they've been stopped by the cops. You know, I surrender. You know, we're surrendering to God when we raise our hands in worship. It's an outward sign of an inward decision, right? And then the second time in our lives that we raise our hands is when we're kids reaching up to our father or our mother. So as children of God, I want to encourage you, if you've never done this before, if you feel comfortable, raise your hands to him right now. Raise your hands as we worship him, and let's experience his presence. Thank you.
Children, we come with arms open wide. So desperate for you, so in need of your light. May our praise fill your ears, may our cries touch your heart. We need your presence to change who we are. So we ask, come Holy Spirit, come in your power, come inhabit our praise, come and reign in our lives. Come like the wind, come be Lord of our heart, come fill your church once again. shout your praise.
Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Yes, great are you, Lord. And great are you, Lord.
Come on, let's give God some praise today. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you for your presence. Isn't it good to worship Him? Now, you know, here at the Vineyard, we love to pray for people. And that's a little bit challenging right now because of everything that's going on. So if you need prayer and you're joining us online, hit that request prayer button. And if you're in person, text VC Pray to the number that's going to magically appear behind me at some point. And when you text that with your prayer request or whatever, someone's going to call you and actually pray with you. It's not just going into the universe. So if you need prayer, please, please do that. Now I'm going to pray for us and I'm going to bless us and then I'll let you all go and get some lunch. So Father, I thank you that we can experience your presence, God. I thank you that you are faithful to your words, Lord, that you inhabit our praises, you inhabit our worship. And Holy Spirit, would you do more of what you're doing right now? Would you pour out more of your peace, more of your hope, more of your joy? Bless us, Lord, and remind us through this week that you are walking beside us, that you are living inside us, that you are alive and you are there for us. We worship you, God. We thank you for all that you've done. Would you continue to pour out your favor on us, Father? And Jesus, it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again. Thank you for joining us in person and online. Check out our small group fair out in the lobby, and I'll see you next week.